Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Theon Paulino Filippelli. She is a psychic medium, remote viewer, intuitive development instructor as well, and she's also the founder of Evolve Me, an online spiritual community where people can feel safe in exploring their spirituality and developing their intuitive gifts. Today, we'll be talking about her experiences as well as reconnecting with the afterlife. Theon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, John.
So what came first? Because it seems like you have many talents, a medium, remote viewing. So which actually came first?
Oh, goodness. Well, definitely the mediumship. I am actually a natural born medium. And it happened as early as I can remember. Because of my Catholic upbringing, it made it very difficult for me to understand what that was. Since I was a kid, I would see people that nobody else would see. In fact, for the longest time, I would have these conversations with my grandfather, and he'd give me messages for my mother, and I would run to her and tell her these messages, and she would not say anything. She would get kind of upset and sort of pass the conversation off. And finally, after some years, actually, I found out that he had passed 2 years before I was born. So I didn't really understand, even then, after being told that I was speaking to somebody that had passed. And again, because of my Catholic upbringing, I felt that that was just not something that I can do. It was years before I really came into my abilities. And that was really from having my son about 15 years ago, who from the moment he could speak would tell me how he would talk to my grandfather and tell me about same grandfather.
Person.
Yeah, he's very active. But yeah, and also through speaking with others that had passed. And so I knew at that moment that I really had to nurture him and not deny him like I did myself. So I encouraged him to just be who he was, and he still is a very fearless, intuitive, and never afraid of the dark, that kind of thing. So I was very thankful that I could give that to him and nurture him in that way.
So you had these experiences early on as a kid, which is very common in mediums. Many report seeing spirits, talking to spirits, other psychic phenomena. And speaking of which, were there other events like that psychic phenomena, maybe precognition or premonitions? Did you have anything like that happen when you were younger?
When I was younger, because I kind of pushed that off, but really what catapulted me into coming into my spiritual path, I guess, was when my son, he was about 4 years old, he told me that my mother was going to pass. And my mother was healthy at the time, I mean, healthy-ish. There were no concerns with her health at the time. He mentioned that she was going to die in 22 days, he said. And I knew he was right. And I even called my mother and I said, please just be careful, take care of yourself. It wasn't 22 days. It was on October 22nd that she passed out of nowhere and unexpectedly. That was very tough. She was my best friend. And I really kind of went through a lot at that time and wanted to connect with her. So I spent practicing and trying to connect. I read books and developed with a very well-known medium who was just amazing. We intensely worked for about almost 2 years in developing this ability. So yeah.
And so your son was born with the same abilities. You found that out actually pretty early on. Okay, so that happened when he was how old? When he was four?
He was about four when he told me that, but he had already been telling me about various things and giving us insights into family members he had never met or I had never spoke about. So
just started talking about things and basically foretelling the future, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, have you had any experiences like that where you would be able to see something, get a really strong premonition about a certain person, maybe it was a client or maybe it was just a family member?
Oh, actually often do, especially if I'm very attached to them. I will have sort of either dreams or it'll just kind of come to me in meditation to check on this person. One experience in particular, I had very strong voice outside of my head, just say, check on your sister. And it showed me that somebody was going to pass. And it didn't necessarily mean my sister. And I immediately called my sister and found out that a friend of ours had stage 3 cancer. And I said, I'm really sorry. She's going to pass like any day. And sure enough, she passed within, I think, 3 days.
You mentioned that you're a natural born medium, and then you have a somewhat uncommon thing that happened with your son when you discovered he had the same type of abilities. How did that shape your path and what have you learned from it?
It's interesting because that actually sort of made me unravel a lot within what my experience was. Seeing my son and how open he was really made me go back to my childhood and see how much I had really pushed down. And what we tell ourselves and all of the conditioning that we come in with. Being raised Catholic, I was conditioned to believe that sort of ability was not for somebody like me, not for an everyday person. And if I did have it, is this like a bad thing? But when I see this innocent boy telling me these things, that couldn't be further from the truth. So it opened me up. But as I started really connecting with my abilities, I'm realizing that over the years, all of these sort of situations and things started to unravel. Like, I didn't realize that everybody doesn't have communication in their head where you're getting guidance and voices that are telling you about things that are going to happen, about insights into really philosophical things that I would think about when I was young. And I would have these communications, you know, at 5 years old, talking about my religion. I was in Catholic school at the time, and I would say, it's really interesting how people have so much fear around God when God is in each and every one of us. And if God is perfect, how does God condemn people? So it's not really about that. What I've come to realize as, you know, going through this sort of path and coming to these realizations is that we are powerful beings because we are part of God.
And one of the things I've noticed with mediums and other intuitives as well is that they seem to all agree that there are certain things we have to unlearn. And a lot of it has to do with religion, like you just said. I think people are becoming a little bit more open-minded these days, but I just think when I talk to those people that are more of the fundamental type, and they don't want to hear about reincarnation. They don't want to hear about anything to do with mediums because they think it's just unnatural. It seems like they're kind of boxed in by all these boundaries.
Yeah. And for me, especially because of this upbringing, it has helped me in some ways. Like, I'm a natural skeptic and I'm a very evidence-based, which is why I do remote viewing as well. And yes, you definitely have to unlearn things. It's not necessarily just religion, though. It's just the conditioning from your parents. If you think about it in its most basic sense, we're conditioned from the moment we're born. If you're a girl, you're conditioned to be more caring, more feeling, play with dolls. There's always that programming that we all come in with. We can spend many lifetimes trying to unlearn this. And what I've come to realize is you won't necessarily learn everything that your soul needs to learn. And that's why you incarnate. You have to just be open to what this life, this experience is supposed to give you.
Now, you just mentioned incarnating and several lives. So has your work giving you insight into past lives and reincarnation?
Oh, absolutely. It's not whether I believe in reincarnation. It is what our journey is. The way that it has been shown to me is we come from the source consciousness, right? As these sort of oversouls and it's sort of like this break off. But we incarnate ourselves many, many times, and not just in this let's say, this reality, this timeline, we are reincarnating in, and that's what we're talking about with past lives. Timelines are like past lives. In the way that I've seen it, because time is not linear, like we think. Time is, but our past lives are happening simultaneously from this, let's say, oversoul.
You're the second person to have that conversation, like within a few hours. Same exact thing, oversoul. No. Everything's happening at once. The axis of time, the way we know it is from, let's say, Middle Ages to the present, is almost like it's inverted like this. And it's very hard for a lot of us to get our heads around it, but happening all at once, multiple parallel lives, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is why it is so easy for us to tap in and be able to also heal. So you've heard of ancestral healers and things like that, and healing from your past lives. I do past life readings. And in some ways, you're always connected to all of your lives, if that makes sense, because you come from this oversoul, right? They do tend to have some effect on each other. Like if I'm doing a past life reading for someone, I don't just say, oh, you were Cleopatra in your former life and you were, and then I could say anything. I could say you're whatever, but it's not about that. It's what these lives are telling you. So I will go into this life and I won't know anything about the person, and I will ask for their past lives to give me that message that they need for this one. And so I will start seeing these lives, and it becomes this theme that tells them what they need, what kind of closure, whatever they're looking for, the message that is the most relevant for them. And it seems very powerful, especially when you're, in a sense, you're connecting them with their past lives. You're connecting them to their, in a sense, oversoul. So it can have a really powerful healing effect.
Now, you mentioned earlier these lives were shown to you. Just for our listeners and for the people watching, can you give us a little bit more detail of what that experience was like for you?
Ooh, it does seem a little bit complicated for me to kind of explain that. So I also tap into the Akashic Records. Not only do I tap into the Akashic Records, but I am an avid astral traveler.
You're like the Swiss Army knife of intuitivism. I know. We might have to do a series on this. This is great.
Yeah, it's how it opened up for me. And I do. I actually feel like a kid in a candy store here, because I'm very into all things intuitive, all things spiritual. So I studied a great deal of years doing all of this. But I'm one of those people that kind of likes to play around in things. So my first experience in the Akashic Records was an accident. I saw it online. And by the way, I will say, don't ever do that. Because it doesn't make sense when you first do it, because in the Akashic Records, and let me explain what that is the basically the internet for existence. It's like a library that holds all information about all beings throughout all existence. So every little detail of existence, not even just on Earth, but on all planets everywhere, are held in the Akashic Records. So you can go into the Akashic Records, and an Akashic Records reader will be able to go with you into your library and give you whatever information you're looking for. So I won't get into the first time I was there, because it was very abstract and crazy for me.
Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up. Those are the kind of things we like to actually kind of dig into, because yeah. I can just imagine whoever's listening saying, I know, I do want to hear about that. I'm beginning to think that might be, first of all, an entirely different episode. If we run out of time, we can always do a part two. But tell us what the first experience in the records was like.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So I read a few books and I thought, okay, I can do this. And I did understand everything happened simultaneously in the Akashic Records. So time is not linear. So you'll see your past, present, future at the same time if you don't understand how to view it. So you should always go with your trusted guides. If you don't know who your guides are, just call out to a guide that will best help you in the Akashic Records. It is very ceremonial in the beginning. You do a sort of a prayer to open up the records. And I did that. And this being opened the door. I couldn't quantify his face. Like it didn't, register. It was almost when your eyes don't get quite focus, it just stayed that way. And it was really interesting. I couldn't make it out. And as they open the records, I just saw this massive library and it was filled with books. I couldn't even see the top. Obviously, it must be eternal. So this is what I'm thinking. So I to my library and this other being comes and he looks like, I don't know, he looks like an outline of a human male. But filled with this like gold energy that's like circulating. It was really odd. So at the time I was like, I couldn't understand what that meant. And this being kind of showed me sort of, I guess, future me, this future version of me, but had some sort of connection with what I'm doing now. I couldn't understand it really. And that's why either you need to go with somebody that is either giving you a reading or you definitely need to go to school for it. And that I did. Yeah.
It is complicated because the future you or the future me can change on a dime, depending on what we're doing now. But that's interesting. Past life readings, how did you start doing that? Was that just a natural outgrowth of the mediumship or was there like an event that triggered that?
Well, I went to the International School for Clairvoyance and one of our practices were to learn how to read past lives. When we first started to do it, we had to view it as a timeline, like a literal timeline. And for some reason, I had that feeling and I've done many practices before and I knew that this is something that I really took to because as soon as we started the first practice, we were supposed to view it as a timeline, like I said, but there were supposed to be rings on that timeline that represented all the lives. The rings started glowing for me. And immediately I was like transported into one of these rings. This is in meditation and I can see everything and I could feel that I was there. I felt like my feet were on the ground. I could feel the energy in the air, the smells, everything. And it was a very profound sort of experience. And this is why I'm a big astral traveler. I find it very easy to come out of my body. So it made going and reading past lives very easy for me. And when I'm with a client, we kind of experience it together. There's some sort of energy that happens. But because I'm very empathic and I feel vibration so much that when I'm reading somebody, I can go into their past lives and take them with me, sort of. It's a strange, strange experience, but beautiful.
It does sound like it. One of the things I've always been curious about is, because I know the past life readings are different than past life regression, but did you ever get the inclination that someone can actually go back into the past or the future and actually exist there? Or is it really more like watching a video, watching a movie?
It's funny because if, let's say, time is not linear, you already do exist in the future. And because of free will, there are different timelines, right? So those timelines still exist. Whether you take them or not doesn't necessarily mean that they don't exist, right? So when I'm reading somebody in any kind of reading and we're talking future stuff, I never will say, you are going to meet the man of your dreams. He's going to be wearing a blue shirt. And, you know, like, never. Yeah. Right. Could be you. Right. And what I will say, and even if I see that man, I'm going to say to them, well, there's a possibility that you will. Everyone has free will. But I tend to not want to give them certain details because a lot of them are withheld from me. Because if I do say that, like if I do say he's wearing a blue shirt, everybody with a blue shirt that I see, I'm going to think is that guy. And not that I withhold any information. If this is the path that is for their highest good, then I'll see it a little bit more clearly. But it's a possibility. I'm not going to really go there with them because that's not what they want to hear.
Right. And I've heard that too, that mediums will often hold back on things that might not be the most positive things in the world. You find the same thing?
I try not to because if I'm getting the information, sometimes I do get the information to help steer the reading. But for the most part, if I'm getting specific information, like, okay, you have to go take that bus 234, I'm going to tell them take bus 234 because it takes them to whatever path. But I don't like to give the information like he's wearing a blue shirt unless there's more behind it. Right? Like, okay, in 5 minutes, your door is going to open and a guy with a blue shirt's going to, that's him. I'm very good with my guides and my guidance so that I know what information is for me and what information is for the client, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. It does. So you mentioned also remote viewing. Is that just another skill or does that figure into your workflow?
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love remote viewing. I was introduced that also at International School for Clairvoyance, and I call it ISC.
I'm curious. There's actually a school for clairvoyance. That's amazing. Gosh.
There's several schools, and ISC is an excellent school. There's Berkeley. There's the Monroe Institute. There are quite a few. With remote viewing, It was developed for the CIA in the 70s. It wasn't truly developed for the government at the time. But Ingo Swann is really like the godfather of remote viewing. They developed it, like I said, for the CIA to do spying. That's other crazy. Governments were doing, isn't it? It's incredible.
It is.
Yeah. There's a whole thing about it. For the longest time, of course, the government didn't really want to disclose stuff like that, of course. I think it was in maybe the 80s or something like that, that they stopped the program, or they said they stopped the program, but I believe it went on for a long time.
It still is.
Absolutely.
I would think we'd want to have several of these psychics spying on several different nations, which we can pretty much guess who that is. It's not really a mystery, is it?
Yes, I have some stories about, yes. Yeah, it's incredible. There's a whole show on this. It's called Third Eye Spy. Definitely look it up and you're going to see some really interesting stuff. Why I love remote viewing is, one, it's evidence-based, obviously. And for me, I'm a truth seeker and natural skeptic. So getting that real evidence is key for me. And it helps me with my other abilities. And especially because I'm an astral projector, I definitely project myself into some of these locations and things like that. I'm actually currently using my remote viewing for another program that I'm in, and that's for psychic detective work. and it's amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh,
it's so cool. I love that.
And I'm actually working with Pam Cordonato, the famous psychic detective. She actually had a show for the longest time. Some of these high profile cases she's been on, you definitely look her up. I grew up watching her, and she even did the Chandra Levy case. And we use remote viewing to view the target. And it's horrible to say that what we're looking for is exciting, but it is. It's exciting to feel like you're helping in that way. Giving people closure when they are missing their family member, want to know what happened to a family member. And I definitely am like going towards that lately.
Very, very interesting stuff. I didn't realize that I was going to really uncover a wealth of knowledge just by asking one question, but we might have to go into that in more detail at another time, but it's really great. So you've obviously had a lot of different experiences. And you had mentioned at the beginning of the episode that your son was able to communicate with your grandfather, and you were able to communicate with your grandfather without really knowing that he passed before you were born. Yeah. So that has continued because I believe you were now in contact with your mom. Is that true?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And my grandfather, he's actually one of my guides too. But yes, my mother, that took me a while because the pain was so fresh for me and just the loss of her. It took me a few years before, even while I was doing mediumship and that for other people, I found it hard to connect with her. I remember I was with my mentor at the time and we got into a very trance-like state. And this was right around her birthday. And I was missing her so much. And I got into the state of just openness. And I kind of cleared a lot of the pain. And first, I can hear her voice. And she has this raspy voice. She's Italian from New York, you know, that kind of thing. so it's
I'm half Italian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. This is why I keep doing this. That kind of.
Yep. I know about that, too.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And from Jersey.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Yeah. And they've all come down to our area for anybody who really cares. I'm in Palm Beach Gardens and Theon is in West Palm Beach. Yeah. I could probably open up my window. You might actually be able to hear me. You're only about
That's 6 miles why I'm hearing
away.
The echo. Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of people from the Northeast came down here.
Yeah. They call this the fifth borough, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. Very interesting. And you brought up something that's really, really important. When your mom first passed, it was very hard to make contact. I've been told by several mediums that when people come to see them because they want to get in touch with someone who just passed, they're often discouraged from doing that too early because the grief can actually get in the way of the medium trying to make contact.
Oh, yes.
You find that to be true also?
Yes. And there's various reasons why. One thing that I will say is I used to get this too when I would try to connect with my mother and I would see a psychic. A lot of them will tell you that one is either they're not communicative at all. They weren't in life and therefore they aren't now. And two, yes, the grieving process would be really difficult for even the one that has passed. They mourn the person that they left or something like that. Or a traumatic experience happened. Let's say either they took their own life, they died tragically, and in a sense, they'd still be in shock a little bit and have to kind of acclimate to where they're at and be able to learn to communicate back to the physical world. What I hear often from a psychic is, okay, well, they just passed, so then that's not going to happen. That's actually not true. I've talked to people that had passed hours just before connecting with them. So it depends on the spirit and the connection, the communication that they want to get through.
So in other words, if you have a sitter that is steeped in grief, you're saying that may get in the way, it might not. In terms of you trying to make contact with a particular loved one or anyone.
Yeah, I would say it wouldn't necessarily be like solely dependent. I would say try. And if it feels too painful for them, then definitely don't. The communication can only happen when two people or two beings are ready, right? So that sitter needs to feel ready. For sure. And ready for that closure and open. The communication from that spirit needs to be ready as well in their way.
In the recent years, a lot of us have seen psychics all over the place, mediums, and some are more developed than others. What are your thoughts on that? Does that have anything to do with ascension, the veil getting thinner, or something different?
Yes. Well, it's interesting because of the community that I built. I did a lot of research into how people are coming into their spiritual path. And what I noticed in research and marketing, just in marketing, is that 2018, every year, three times as many people as the year before since have come to a spiritual practice, right?
Three times.
Isn't that crazy? What I see is just the landscape, the current social climate and government, and there's media. There's a lot of mistrust. People are starting to wake up, and not just spiritually, just wake up because, and we talked about this in the beginning, is we're coming from a place of programming. And as our society starts developing and realizing that we're all one in that sense. So if we're all one, then we're all equal. I do feel that feeling. There's like this energy. There is sort of this push to ascend, to bring this world into that higher vibration where we are more attuned to all that's around us rather than just this specific physical existence. That makes sense.
Raising the vibe, in other words.
Yep.
I hear that a lot too, frequency and vibe. Normally I would ask, is there anything else we should know? But I think that might necessitate a part two because we didn't even get into some of your experiences, some of your cases as a medium. To be continued. Theon, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm sure we will reconvene at some point. In the meantime, how do our listeners find you online?
They can look me up on evolveme.com. That's evolve without the E at the end, me.com.
I'll put that in the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been watching Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing for more info. You can also go to closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.